We read the Holy Scriptures tonight in the book of Lamentations, which comes after Jeremiah. Jeremiah, Lamentations, and we'll read in chapter 3, the first 36 verses of the chapter. Lamentations 3, 1 through 36. The text that we will consider is verses 22 and 23, a beautiful confession. Really quite an astounding confession when we consider this book. And you will see that as we read the first part of this chapter. An astounding confession that could be made in such circumstances. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. We read the word of God that far tonight. Let's consider together tonight verses 22 and 23 of this chapter. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a surprise and what a wonder to find such a beautiful confession as this in the midst of such bitter lamentation. Jeremiah, who is certainly the human writer of this book, had just gone through the most awful disaster ever to befall his people. The utter destruction of Jerusalem, the throwing down of the stones of the temple, and the captivity of Judah. Now his bitter tears fall down onto the pages of Holy Scripture as he writes by divine inspiration out of his experiences such things as this. For these things I weep. Mine eye, Mine eye runneth down with water, because the Comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. And again, mine eyes do fail with tears, my bowels are troubled, my liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. Indeed, Jeremiah came to the very brink of despair, as we see in the chapter that we read, the very brink of despair. He was almost at the point where he had lost all hope and could not go on. But then, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for His compassions fail not. Every day there are new mercies, great is Thy faithfulness. Also amazing and really surprising and astounding is this beautiful confession, because Jeremiah understood the reason for the sufferings of his people. Jeremiah knew the reason. Jeremiah knew that it was the Lord's doing. As he also writes, the Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughters of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. Because of Judah's sins, her continual sins, her terrible sins, this evil had befallen her, this captivity, this awful and most greatest disaster that had ever occurred in Judah's history, was the just judgment of God upon them for their sins. And in that sense, it was a vivid type of the destruction and the suffering that we all deserve because of our sins. And yet Jeremiah can confess beautifully in this text, His compassions fail not. Every morning His mercies are new. Great is Thy faithfulness. Because you see, that suffering of Judah, that intense suffering was also a vivid type of the suffering of Christ. Because Christ Himself speaks in this book of Lamentations. He speaks in chapter 1, verse 12, Are these not the words of Christ? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. The words of Christ. Christ suffered on the cross. Christ suffered the wrath of God on the cross. Christ endured the fierce anger and judgment of God on the cross for all of our sins. And therefore we may know with certainty when we suffer, even when we go through the greatest afflictions, it is not due to the wrath of God against us. It is not because He hates us. But it is a trial. A trial of our faith. And therefore, we too can say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is Thy faithfulness. We can say that too, beloved, today, can't we? On this last day of the year, on this last evening of the year, as we look back and recall 2015, the year of our Lord. Not only when we think of the many wars and rumors of wars and the abounding lawlessness of that year, but also when we recall to our minds the deep sorrow that we experienced as a congregation in the sudden, unexpected loss of dear brothers in Christ who left behind family and friends and all of us. And as Jeremiah has put it, caused also our eyes to fail with tears. We look back on this year and we remember things hard to remember. Let us make this confession with this, as he is called, weeping prophet. With the weeping prophet, let's make this beautiful confession tonight. Under the theme, the unfailing mercies of our God. First of all, mercies in our deepest woes. Secondly, mercies that fail not. And finally, mercies new each morning. The Lord's mercy. The Lord's wondrous compassion, His tender affection, and His will to take away the misery of those whom He loves. The remembrance of that, beloved, gives spiritual strength and fortitude to the soul of every believer, even in the midst of his deepest woes. because like Jeremiah, he recalls to his mind that God is a God of mercy. He recalls to his mind that God, who is a God of mercy even within his own being, because as the Father and Son and Spirit, he dwells together in tender affection one for another within the triune being of God. And because God, as the God of mercy, wills his own blessedness, so also the believer, when he thinks on this mercy of God, remembers that it's toward me. God is merciful and compassionate towards me. God does not hate me. God is not filled with wrath towards me. Even when I experience terrible things, even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even when my tears fail me and rush out of my eyes and down my face, I know that the Lord is not against me, but the Lord is for me. The mercies of my God means that He loves me. He loves me with an infinite love. He loves me with an eternal love, an unconditional love, which means that He wants and longs and wills eternally and perfectly and infinitely to do unto me the greatest possible good, to give to me the greatest possible blessedness, to draw me unto Himself in an eternal and powerful, unending embrace into His divine fellowship. God loves me. His love pours forth out of the infinite depths of His heart and is directed toward me. The believer knows this. It is of the Lord's mercies. It is because the Lord loves me. Jehovah, the one true and living God, loves me. And therefore He's merciful toward me. Therefore He's compassionate to me. When He looks down upon me, falling miserably into my sins, again and again falling into my sins, He's filled with tender affection toward me, one of His elect children. He longs to forgive me and to bless me. When He looks down upon me in my sufferings and in my woes, He doesn't take delight in it. We read of that in the chapter that we read. Verse 33, He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men to crush under His feet all the prisoners of the earth. He doesn't afflict His children willingly. He doesn't afflict me willingly. He doesn't take delight in watching me suffer and squirm and be afflicted and grieve. He doesn't take delight in the tears that flow down my face. He's a God of mercy and tender affection toward me. He's compassionate to me. Like those Jews, those elect Jews, who when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, they surrounded the city and it was put under a siege. And men had to watch as their own daughters were ravished by Babylonian soldiers in the streets. Women had to watch as their children were suffering from starvation. There was no bread, there was no water. And then they were carried away in chains to a foreign land which they knew not. There they were mocked and ridiculed and told to sing the songs of Zion. How can we sing a song in this foreign place? And so for us, beloved, as we look back on the past year, as we consider our own lives, as we consider what we've experienced, the sudden loss of brothers in Christ, friends, fellow office bearers, fellow saints, with whom we worship from Sabbath to Sabbath, no longer there. Their seat is empty. We no longer experience their friendship and their love, their fellowship. We no longer experience the gift that God worked in their lives and in their hearts, which were a blessing unto us. It's gone. And we weep. Some of you experience other difficulties. Some of you have experienced the long and bitter estrangement of family. Within your own family, broken homes, abandoned wives and husbands, other difficulties. Finding out that you have a cancerous tumor inside of your body, etc. All of these afflictions that we experience. God looks upon us and is filled with mercy and compassion toward His people. And I said that mercy means that He wills our blessedness. It means that He wills to lift us up out of that misery. It means He wills to take away our sins and to take away our sufferings and to give us everlasting blessedness. But God doesn't only will it. He He also does it. The text speaks of the Lord's mercies. And in that plural, that word mercies means not only the attitude or the attribute of mercy, but it refers to the actions of God's mercy. It refers to the hundreds and the thousands and the millions of acts of God's mercy toward us His children, His mercies. God is not like that man who claims to have pity toward his fellow man and his sufferings, but does nothing to help that man and watches that man, that neighbor, and that fellow saint weeping and going through his affliction and sorrow and says, I feel such pity towards him, but does nothing at all to alleviate that pain. God is a God of mercy and a God who acts out of that mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies, plural, mercies. It was a mercy of God when He sent His only begotten Son into this world to suffer and die on the cross, to shed His blood, that our sins could be forgiven and we could be eternally blessed. And it was of the Lord's mercy that constantly in this past year too, God reached down with His hand from heaven into this world, into your life and into my life, into our deepest woes. And He gave unto us dose after dose after dose of His powerful mercy, which gave to us strength, the strength that we needed, the strength we needed to endure that pain, to endure that trial, to go through that trial and that suffering and that affliction without forsaking Him, the strength we needed to put our trust in Him in the midst of that difficulty, the strength we needed to submit ourselves wholly and entirely to the will of our God and realize that not my will, but Thy will be done. The strength that we needed. The strength that we needed with Job, even in the hottest part of the affliction, to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be His name. All of that is of the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Positively put, of the Lord's mercies, we are preserved and blessed. How can the prophet say this? When Jerusalem lays in rubble, when the stones of the temple have been cast hither, thither, and yon, down to the ground, when the Jews have been carried off in chains to captivity, wasn't it precisely true that they were utterly consumed? Wasn't this the greatest calamity that had ever occurred? Wasn't it truly as bad as it could possibly be? No, it was not. Because the prophet says we have not been consumed. Literally, he says we have not come to an end. We have not been finished. We have not been utterly destroyed. We have not ceased to be. The nation of Judah had not been annihilated. The line of Christ that ran through the midst of Judah continued and was preserved by God, even in captivity. And that elect remnant, according to grace, would return one day. Only a small band, but they would return to the land of promise. And that line of Christ would continue through those dark years, and the child would be born. They were not consumed. They did not come to their end. Nor have we. We, beloved, as the Church of Christ living in this land, in this time, in the year 2015, we did not come to our end. We were not utterly consumed, even though heathen people who loved to spread terror sought to destroy us. Even though the Supreme Court of our own land became lawless in their judgment, approving the marriage of sodomites against the will of God. Even though by that act we as a Church of Christ in the United States of America have now been pushed even farther into captivity, into cultural exile, so to speak, even farther and farther to the margins of society, and the threat of persecution looms. We have not been consumed. Even though the devil has assaulted us ceaselessly, even though he has attacked us in our personal lives and sought to bring us down, sought to instill doubt, to take away our faith, to cause us to trip and to fall into this sin or that sin, we have not been consumed. Of the Lord's mercies, He has been with us and will be even to the end of the world. And the point of the text is that we will never be consumed The point is that nothing can work against us. Nothing can destroy us. Nothing can bring us to our end as the children of God. But all things must work for us. All things. Always, everything must serve our good. Always, everything must be part of those, that all things that work together for good to them that love God. Always, all things must work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Always, all things that happen to us, good and evil, must not be worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. We will return from captivity. We will come to the promised land. We will receive the fullness of our inheritance. And everything in this life, everything in 2015, must serve that goal. Can you say it then, beloved? Can you say it with the weeping prophet, with Jeremiah, who stood, as it were, in the rubble of Jerusalem, with all the stones of the temple around him? Can you say it? I almost came to the end. I almost lost all hope. I almost plunged into the pit of despair, never to return. But then I recalled this. It was of the Lord's mercies that I was not consumed. His compassions fail not. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Then we can sing. Then we can say, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. We can also do that, beloved, if our year has been rather peaceful. Our year has been prosperous. If we have experienced in the ways of this world, in the ways of earthly circumstances, prosperity, and not much difficulty, not too many bumps along the way, even then too, we must say, the Lord has been with us. The Lord, it was His mercies that were upon us, also in the good gifts that He gave to us of this life. And I give thanks and sing praise to Him. Can we also confess the rest of the text? Can we also say with Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. Thy compassions fail not. He says in the text that through the mercies of God, we are not consumed. Because thy compassions fail not. Because they do not fail. That's why we are not consumed. God loves me and He doesn't fail in His love. God is merciful toward me and His compassions fail not. They never fail. Great is thy faithfulness. The remembrance of that too. In addition to the mercies of the Lord toward me, the remembrance of the faithfulness of the Lord also gives spiritual strength to the child of God in the midst of his sufferings. He reminds himself that God is a God of faithfulness. God is an immutable God. God is a God who changes not. His compassions, they fail not. As He has been, so forever will be. He remembers that He who is faithful even within His own being, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dwelling together in the fellowship of the triune God, are faithful one toward another, always faithful, always acting the same way, always expressing their love for each other perfectly, never failingly. He remembers that that same God who is faithful within His own being is faithful to me. He's faithful to us. He's faithful to His church. He's faithful to His people throughout all generations. He changes not. His love never fails. He's faithful to His decree of election. He decreed before the foundation of the world that I would be one of His beloved children. He chose me in Christ before the foundations of the world, and He is faithful to that decree. God never changes His mind about me. God never changes that decree so that I no longer elect and now I'm a reprobate. God never does that. God has chosen me and He's faithful to His decree of election. And therefore God has given me wondrous promises. God has promised to be my God and for me to be one of His children. God has said that He would be my God forever and ever. that he would be my guide even unto death. And he is faithful who has promised. He will never stop being my God. He will never turn into my enemy. He will never stop being my father. He will never cast me out of his house. He's faithful. He doesn't change. He doesn't fail. He never comes to the end of his compassion. And therefore, we never come to our end. We are not consumed. We do not come to our end because his compassions fail not. They never come to their end. They go on and on and on. As far as the eye can see, they go on and on and on. They never end. They're never finished. And so, he's established a covenant with me. He's established a covenant with Christ. And he's established a covenant with me through Christ, along with all of his elect people. And he's faithful to his covenant. Even when I break that covenant, even when I violate that covenant, even when I sin against that covenant, I can never be cast out of that covenant. That covenant will never be severed. The bonds that God has formed with me from eternity will never fail and will never be broken because his faithfulness is so great. Through the Spirit of Christ, he's attached me, he's united me, he's connected me to himself through Christ in a covenant relationship of love. And he's faithful to me, faithful to you. No, beloved, he is the Lord. He changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. No, his compassions never fail. No, we are never consumed. And we can say so many wonderful things with the psalmists. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. They reacheth unto the clouds. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generation. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Do you join your voice, beloved? Do you join your voice to Jeremiah? Do you make this confession with Jeremiah? Thy compassions have not failed toward me. Thy faithfulness toward me is great. Even to the heavens, I cannot see the end of thy faithfulness. It is so great, it is infinitely great. It goes on and on and on and on, and it's perfect. It is without stain, without fault, without failure. Perfectly faithful. I am not faithful, but thou art perfectly faithful. And so I look back on this past year. I look back on the ups and the downs, the joys and the sorrows, the prosperity and the adversity, in my own personal life, and in our life as a congregation. I look back on all those things, and I still am able to say, thou art faithful. Thou hast been faithful to thy promise. Thou wert with me all along the way. I was not consumed. I was brought to the edge of despair, perhaps, but I didn't go over that edge. I recalled thy mercies and thy compassions, and I found hope once again. Great is thy faithfulness. I kept my eyes on Jesus. I looked to the author and finisher of my faith, who laid down his life for me on the cross, who shed his blood for me to fulfill God's eternal promises, to fulfill his decree of election, to make it a reality through his blood. I looked to him. I gazed at the cross. And seeing the blood shed of the Son of God on the cross, my heart was comforted. And I was again lifted up. And I was again encouraged. And I again had hope. And I again was able to go on in the midst of my woes, in the midst of afflictions, through those afflictions and out of those afflictions. If not yet, one day I believe I will come out of those afflictions. I remembered that I have a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and that he so preserves me now that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore he assures me of eternal life. and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. I remember that. I remembered that God is my Father, and therefore I rely upon Him so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for the body, and that He will make all evils that He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn to my advantage. Because He is able, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. I recall that to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Do you too, beloved? Did you too? When you look back at 2015, was that you too? That you too recalled the mercies of the Lord toward you personally, and therefore you had hope. You had faith, and you could confess with Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let us finally also confess with Jeremiah that those compassions are new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Can you say that too, beloved? Can you say that with the prophet as the tears roll down his face? We wonder how he can say that. How can he say that? Why don't you read, beloved, the whole book of Lamentations if you have opportunity soon. Read that whole book. Read it from beginning to end. You will be struck by the misery, by the sorrow, by the depth, the profound depth of this man's sufferings. And he was expressing the sufferings of the whole of God's people who went through that most dreadful disaster of the captivity. And then come back to the text. They are new every morning. Thy mercies, Thy compassions, Thy faithfulness is new every morning. Even now, even in the midst of this, even today, new. Day by day, Jeremiah experienced worse and worse sufferings, worse and worse tribulations. He saw the most dreadful things, things a human should never have to see. Women eating their own children because there is no food. Awful, terrible things. He witnessed all these things. And yet he says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Wondrously, amazingly, surprisingly. Because that too, this very confession itself, is the mercy of God in Jeremiah's heart, bringing this confession forth. With each new day, new mercies. Not only daily bread, not only did I have food on my plate, not only did I have water in my glass so that I could refresh my body and strengthen my body. Not only did I have a house over my head. Not only did I have a vehicle to drive in. Not only did I have clothes on my back and heat in my house. But mercies. New mercies. Everyday mercy. And more mercy. And still more mercies. As God in His great mercy and love toward me acts in my life. Acts again and again in my life. And I've seen that. I've experienced that. That's what Jeremiah says. I've seen that. Yesterday's mercies were for yesterday. Yesterday's mercies were to bring me through yesterday, to give me what I needed for yesterday, to help me endure yesterday and trust yesterday and continue to the end of yesterday. Today's mercies are for today. Today's mercies are to bring me through today. If I don't have that mercy as a constant flow from God to me, then I perish. Then I fall off the way. Then I plunge into the abyss. But new mercies, each day a steady and faithful flow of the mercies of God to me. You too, beloved? Don't you too? That's what Jeremiah confesses. That's what he says to us in this text. By divine inspiration, out of the crucible of his experiences, morning by morning, new mercies, I see. I find this to be true. God is with me. God strengthens me to run the race that is before me. And so he could no doubt say with the psalmist, and we too, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. You sing that? You believe that? You confess that, beloved? If you experienced that in 2015, you can be confident you will also have that in 2016. God gives that to His elect people. He gives that to His children. He loves His children. He loves His people. And in that abundance of love, He shows it. He acts on it. He's a God who is with us, who protects us, preserves us, provides for us, who will give us everything that we need, nothing less and nothing more, but exactly what we need, also in the new year. Sing it in your heart with me together then. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for that wonder. No matter what we go through in our lives, we are able to say that it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. Even when we go through great difficulties, great troubles, we can say that of thy mercies we were kept in the palm of thy hand and treated as the apple of thy eye, because thou hast sent Jesus Christ into this world to shed his blood on the cross, to give to us eternal life, and that he now is risen and ascended and sits at thy right hand and rules over all things in such a perfect way that all things work together for our good. All things must serve our glory and our salvation. We thank thee for thy faithfulness, so undeserving, thy grace, thy mercy. We pray that thou wilt bless this to our hearts, that thou wilt work in our hearts a thankfulness to thee for these great and mighty gifts, which we may carry in with us in the year to come too. And we pray, Father, as thou hast been faithful to us in this year, be faithful to us in the year to come, to thy eternal decree, to thy promise, to thy covenant, and give unto us all that we need. Forgive graciously our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.